all know when you came to Christ, you said something very profound. You said, I'm going to let go and let God. It was very profound at that time. I'm going to let go and let God, you know. And we began to let go and let God, and then we began to let God go and grab hold of everything else. And there was that struggle of letting go and letting God, or letting God go and grabbing what was. And we began to fight, and in the fight we realized was no longer outside but inside. And in this fight does not stop. It continues. But we began to take more victory and take ground. And as more victories came more relevant to us, more faith got built up. As more revelations came, more faith got built up. We began to learn trusting God, learn to lean on Him, learn to surrender to Him. But that fight never stopped, because the fight is now within, not without. Amen. One of the things the Holy Spirit quickened me to this morning was about cutting away doubt and unbelief. And there is a process that we go through in cutting away doubt and unbelief. And it must be a process that is continually to be maintained, because every day you must cut away doubt and unbelief. Even when you are fighting, and you know, I mean, some of us even fight to come to getting in God's presence or to come to a Bible study or service. People fight. And one of the things that they're fighting, God is bringing us the sword. He said, listen, I didn't come to give you peace. I came to give you a sword. Why? So you can cut away doubt and unbelief. And it is not only a continued process, but it must be a part of your life. It is not something that is just a one-time event. See, many times you come to a service, and we all come together, man, we get filled and get God's presence, whatever. We walk out the door and the devil comes and he stands at the door and says, come on, hand it. He's asking for an offering. The devil stands outside the door, asks for an offering. He says, okay, put all your belief and your faith into the offering. And he begins to cut away your faith and belief. And we're supposed to be cutting away unbelief and doubt. Amen. Would you turn to the book of James, please, in chapter 1. And we come back to a service again, and then we go, man, I don't know why. Why was I fighting so badly to come back into God's presence? You know, because the devil wants you to just stay home, eat popcorn, and watch TV. And he wants to get you into the place where he can convince you that you've done your duty. Okay, I've done what I'm supposed to do. I'm done. No, that's not how it is in the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. In the book of James in chapter 1, and in starting at verse 2, would you read it with me? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work. In other words, there is a perfection where you're going through, where you're allowing God to have His work in you. And one of the things He's going to do is teach you how to cut away your doubt and unbelief. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Oh, hallelujah. Where you're not always going, I want it, I need it. Where you're not always claiming, oh, that's my promise, Lord, where's my inheritance? Where you're fighting for His, with the things that are due to you, even though that they're already there. The only reason why they haven't been brought forth is because of doubt and unbelief. And you may say, well, I believe. Those are words. I have faith to get healed. Those are words. There's a difference between words and life. If I was to put all of the new life into this nice little piece of work, this pulpit. Everything here is new life. If I'm this far away from all the new life, then I'm still walking in the old life. Is everybody with me? Even though a new life is right there, and I'm claiming it, I'm confessing it, and all kinds of stuff, but I'm not in it, there's a difference. But if I'm in and walking in the new life, now what I proclaim comes to pass. Is everybody with me? Where there's no more what if, how, when, and where. You won't lack anything because if you're walking in that new arena with Christ and all things He has for you, everything is coming to pass. Now, it may be not according to your time, but it's according to His time. That's where you're enduring. See, in the period of waiting for those things to come to pass, you're cutting away unbelief and doubt. You're cutting away unbelief and doubt. It's like going through a swamp where you got to move all the stuff out of the way till you can get to the promise that's there for you. Is everybody with me? Because the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to take the seed from you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, in verse 4 again, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know what? None of us lacks anything. God provides exceedingly abundantly, far above all we could ever ask or think. But there are areas that God allows us to fight for. Because the Bible says that the heavenlies are taken by force. So there's an area where we're trying to take land. We're taking heavenlies. We're taking places. God strategically positions people so that they can do warfare. To take land. To take heavenlies. To take space. When you take the lands and you take those principalities and you move them out of the way, souls are saved. But first there is a warfare and a spiritual warfare and in every area of life. In verse 5, would you read it with me? It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all, I said all, liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? Faith, with no doubting. I'm telling you, no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. Now listen. God is not looking at what you were or what you've done. Yesterday's done and over with. Today's a new day. You walk in the God of now. You cannot go and proclaim things that you were, what you've done, or whatever. When the devil comes up to you, you can't tell him, well, yeah, well, I used to do this, and I used to do that. And I used to be this, and I used to be that. The devil don't look at it. He laughs in your face. What are you now, bonehead? Where do you stand now? Do you believe or do you doubt? And he knows whether you believe or doubt. He knows it. That's why people get attacked. See, we're to keep continuing to cut away all doubt and unbelief in our life. It's not about according to the carnal world, carnal intellect. People go to colleges, they go to schools, they go to all of the stuff, they go to cemetery schools, they go to every kind of thing that there is to try and get knowledge. But you know what? There's always that distance from them. There's always a distance from them. Because see, if you can truly walk it, and you can truly talk it, then you lack nothing. Not one thing. That's where he does exceedingly abundantly, far above all you could ask or think. Ask or think. But there's got to be a place where you've got to get off your blessed assurance. There's got to be a place where you've got to be a partaker and a cooperator with the things of God. You can't just keep claiming things and sit at a distance. Ain't nothing going to happen. There's a difference between words and faith. Words are written. Words are spoke. But there's a place when you are walking what you're talking. Hello. Let's go on a little further. In verse 7, Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is what? Double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will what? Pass away. So it's our responsibility to cut away doubt and unbelief. That's where you and I are enduring, aren't we? We are fighting. We are cutting away the doubt and unbelief in our life. In every circumstance, in every decision. Let me tell you, every time you've got to make a decision according to the kingdom of God, the enemy is there to oppose it. If you're not on top of it, hello? If you're not walking on water, if you're still in the boat, you're going to make the wrong decision. That's why it's so important about staying filled with the Spirit, isn't it? Go to Hebrews 11. Cutting away doubt and unbelief. In verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. This is where you and I must check ourselves. Am I really walking according to what I'm talking? Am I really doubting? Am I unbelieving? Am I just going through the motions, or am I doing them because I believe? Well, you know what? Sometimes you force yourself. You make yourself, because self is against you. Hello? Self is the number one enemy. That's why the Bible said deny yourself. So there's times when you just got to take that little flesh creature and throw it right in the presence of God. It's time when you got to take a Holy Ghost rag and stick it in its mouth and say, shut up in the name of Jesus, and you will listen and obey. That's where your spirit must take dominion over your soul, your feelings, your emotions, and all your foo-foo-ness, and all those fleshly desires. What happens? You must cut away all doubt and unbelief. It's our responsibility. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, would you read it with me? But without faith, it is impossible to please. It's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, it says, must what? Believe. Must. That he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. So there must be a process of this cutting away. First thing you must do is be one who diligently seeks him. That means consistently. You can't get up in the morning and say, oh, good morning, God. See you later. That's why we always share, without prayer, you have no life. That's the new life. Without a life of prayer, there is no life. Amen. So we must come to a place where we believe that he is a rewarder. Must believe. Now, there are two fruits of faith. The fruits of faith are belief and trust. Those are two fruits of faith. Two destroyers of faith is doubt and unbelief. Everybody got it? Two fruits of faith is where you believe and you trust. Those are fruits of faith. Yes, I believe. What are you doing? I'm acting my faith, activating it. Do you trust? Yes, well then you're activating your faith. So two fruits of faith is belief and trust. And the word believe means to what? Follow. So if I'm a follower and not a doubter, if I'm a doer and not a me, myself, and I-er, then I'm activating faith. Faith must constantly be activated. As a believer, the only way that that can happen is if you're constantly cutting away doubt and unbelief. Somebody got it? You must cut those things away on a constant time. So we must be continuously seeking. In other words, we must focus our way. Our focus must always be on Christ. You know, people walk around with that armband and t-shirts and it says, what would Jesus do? Man, if half the body of Christ would wear them and really begin to look at it, they wouldn't do some of the things they do. It's because they're not walking in faith. They're not cutting away doubt and unbelief. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. Praise you, Lord. You know, you can't just mimic somebody else's walk. You must work out your own salvation. Amen. You must work out your own salvation. So it's your responsibility to cut away doubt and unbelief. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the what? Excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. See, look here. When you begin, and we talked about some of this Friday night, you know, relying on your flesh, having confidence in the flesh. When you begin to see yourself having confidence in the flesh, you need to sever that. Why? Because when you have confidence in the flesh, you're actually activating doubt and unbelief. So those things we must sever. So here it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Not us ourselves. Yet we are what? Hard pressed on every side. What are you hard pressed with? Doubt and unbelief. Yet not crushed, we are perplexed, but not what? In despair. Persecuted, but not what? Forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, we all have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Now, he says, so I believed and therefore I spoke. Now, again, I want to share with you, there's a difference between just speaking and truly not believing. People throw words out. But there's an arena where you are one in the Spirit, and when you speak, it's different. It is totally different. Have you ever gone to a place where you're being preached to or whatever, but the words just don't seem to go? There's not revelation. It's because they're words. They are words. Jesus said, my words are spirit. Of course, Jesus was speaking. My words are spirit. Now, the Bible is a written testimony of people that have experienced Christ. These are memories, aren't they? They're not only memories, but these are words that were recorded, the things that Jesus spoke. Everybody with me? Now, as you and I speak, so this is called logos. When you speak, it's called rhema, which means life-giving. There's a difference. So if you are filled with the Spirit of God, and you are filled with faith, cutting away doubt and unbelief, you're making a prayer not because you're writing a list of Santa Claus and hope. You're praying a prayer because you know, and there's something going to change. There's something going to change. You know it because you prayed it. There's a difference. That's faith. I remember one time when I was praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, we need a van. And there's times when he says, wait. And there's times when he says, go for it. I'm thinking, okay. In other words, we were just waiting on a van. I asked for a van for the church a couple of months ago. And he said, wait, I'm going to bring it. And then we got a call a couple of days ago. Somebody saying they're going to donate a van. And we're supposed to pick it up this weekend. And I said, praise you, Lord. He said, see, just wait on me. But then there's times when he says, no, I want you to go for it. This is where relationship is important. So about 5 or 6 years ago, I was saying, Lord, I need a van. He says, is there anything special you'd like? I said, yes, a red one. So I started looking out the front window, waiting for it to come. I said, it's coming, isn't it? He says, I'm going, you know, do you believe it? I said, yes. He says, okay. So I had to go pick somebody, go drop something for someone or something like that. I forgot. And it happened to be at a car lot. I had to go. Our U-Haul was stored behind the car lot. And we had to go get in our car lot, into the U-Haul, so I had to go get the key from the guy that had the car lot. And I drove in the car lot, and I was driving by, and I was looking at these vehicles, and I was saying, nice, nice, nice. And all of a sudden, I saw this red van, and I drove by it. I didn't think anything of it, and all of a sudden, the Lord says, there's your red van. I said, ooh, that's nice. He said, take it home with you. I walked into the guy. We talked, come to find out he was a believer, and I left that day with that van. And then God paid for it within 2 or 3 days. So he shared with me, there's a time when you must go for it, and there's a time when you must wait. But you know, the devil, when God tells you something, he's going to bring all doubt and unbelief. You're going to go, oh, where, when, how, was that you, God, or wasn't it you, God? Well, that's when you got to start cutting away all doubt and unbelief. Oh, hallelujah. Believe, you speak. That's when you say, when the Lord says something to you and you know it's God, you do it. One of the things you always must ask the Lord now, if he speaks you now, you want me to do it now? Or he'll either tell you, wait, or go. But it better be God. Too many people step out, they speak it, and they go, and God never sent them. God's still standing there going, who you been talking to? And who you been listening to? And people go out and get themselves in debt. Well, the Lord told me to go buy a car. Oh, really? $6,000 a month? And you only make $300. That ain't God. He told me to start a ministry. Oh, good. Well, who sent you? God did. Good. Oh, hallelujah. We see it happen all the time. So people believe and they speak. The problem is they haven't cut away the doubt and unbelief. And we must cut away doubt and unbelief in every area. Amen? I believed and therefore I spoke. Oh, hallelujah. Now listen. They believe, they speak. There's got to be a place where we accept and hold on and cut away doubt and unbelief. Many say I have faith, but they are just words because they don't obey. They don't obey. Go to Romans 10. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 8. See, one of the things we want is we want the fullness of Christ in every area of our life. That's why everything with God is His perfect timing. But see, the devil will love to move you out of God's time. That's why you must continue to cut away doubt and unbelief. Because see, the devil would love... Now, God might have said to you, listen, this is something I want you to do. And unfortunately, the person wasn't listening to everything. He could have said in 3 years, 2 days, whatever. Or he could have said, wait on me. So the person runs out and starts to do it. And then he tries to find out whether this is really God or not. And instead of cutting away doubt and unbelief and really truly hearing what is God, they become entangled in the thing that they were going to do instead of entangled in the Lord. Does everybody understand that? And they begin to lose sight. They lose vision. They begin to establish their own vision and their own destiny. And the fullness, what God had for them, will not be manifested, only a partial of it. Only a partial of it. And this is where the enemy comes in and says, oh, you're doing a good job. You're doing God's will. But they're really not. That's only a partial of it. In Romans 10 and verse 8, would you read it with me? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So we see something, look at it. It says, it is near you, in your mouth and where? So it must be in your heart, not just in your mouth. There's a lot of people just shooting off the word, but it really isn't in their heart. Why? Because they're not one. They're really not one with the word yet. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. But there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Now, it also comes by obeying. Amen? Believe in the heart, confess with the mouth, but must be a part of your life imparted in you. In you. Go to John 6. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Cutting away doubt and unbelief. In verse 26. 6:26. Would you read it with me? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Let's go a little further. Then what? Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you what? Believe in him whom he sent. Therefore, they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as is it written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Ooh, they had a change of heart, didn't they? They had a revelation. They were like, man, this is something I want always, Lord. Forget that bread that they baked in the oven. I want the true bread. See, they had revelation. Something happened with them where they became thirsty and hungry, and they wanted to stay in that arena, and they said, this is what I want. See, you must be thirsty and hungry at all times. Those who thirst and hunger for his righteousness shall be what? Filled. So you must cut away that arena of doubt and unbelief. You must cut away that arena that tries to keep you from staying thirsty and hungry for the Lord. You must cut away that complacency, that compromise. You must cut away these things in your life so that you are positionally in the area where you are thirsty and hungry for God. and your faith is abounding in every area. Is everybody with me? Ooh. Work the works of God. Believe in Him. He is the bread of life. Go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to a region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." See, they knew about demons, and it's amazing how many people don't know about them now. Still blows my mind. You know, many places don't want to tell you about demons. Well, the enemy doesn't want to be exposed. You're going to hear about demons all the time here because your fight is not flesh and blood. In my encounter with the Lord, a serpent came out of me. I'm going to tell you about demons. I had firsthand. I was a demon-possessed individual. And I got delivered by the glory of God. Totally set free. With a new heart, a new spirit, and the mind of Christ. Never gone back, never touched another thing again. One of the things He kept always telling me, continue. See, you have to fight for faith. Every day I have to cut away things that the enemy would try to impart. I have to continue to curse corruptible seeds. I have to continue to put my flesh under my feet and how I feel and what I think, knowing that this word is true and faithful and eternal, and have a personal relationship with the word Himself called Jesus the Christ. Amen. Knowing that He represents the Father of eternal, and He's given us His Spirit that we may have fellowship in the Spirit. There's a woman that came out and said, "Listen, my daughter is severely demon, not just demon-possessed, but severely demon-possessed." I get calls from parents all the time. "Oh, my daughter or my son or this and that, they have a drug problem." I want to tell them, yes, he's severely or she's severely demon-possessed. It's not the drug problem. In verse 23, "But he answered her, not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.'" How many of the disciples wanted to just blow her off? Forget this. You know, Jesus didn't say a word yet. "But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, even though she was rejected." But she really wasn't rejected. He just made a statement. See, but many people would run because God didn't answer the way they wanted to. That's it. You didn't let me marry that girl I wanted to marry, or that boy I wanted to marry, or you didn't give me that Mercedes I've been praying for. I'm done. Listen, you're not serving your owner Target or Walmart. You're serving the Creator, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator who made breath, the Creator who brought forth the universe. Hallelujah. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and worshipped Him and said, "Lord, help me." She didn't give up. You know what she was doing? Cutting away her doubt and unbelief. And He answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Now, who was He talking about? Him. He was the bread of life. Now, this is very powerful. Look what she says. And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." What was she saying? "I just want a piece of you. I'll t- take the crumbs, even though you've come to feed the Jews and Israel, but I may not be one of them and that you've come for, but I'll take the crumbs from the table because I know if I eat that crumb at the table, I'm going to be made brand new. So I'm going to cut away all doubt and unbelief, and I'm coming after you. I'll take whatever you got for me. I don't care if they roll off on the table. I'll eat it. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you what? Desire. See, people are going, yes, well, the Lord says, if I delight in him, he'll give me the desires of my heart. Well, most people really don't delight in him. And the desires of their heart are of their own desires, not the desires of the heart of Christ. Because see, if you truly delight in him, he's going to give you his desires, not your own. And the desires that you have will coincide with him. And they will come to pass. But see, we must continue to cut away all doubt and unbelief. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The crumbs from the table, healed from great faith. Go to Matthew 8. Is everybody all right? In Matthew chapter 8. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 1. And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. I am willing. Hallelujah. Hold on a second. Can you shut that thing off? Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's try this again. In verse 3, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, what? I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was what? It was cleansed. So you got to understand something. God is willing. You know, so many people say, well, you know, I just don't know if you're willing. But Lord, if it's your will, but it is his will. It says it's his will to cleanse us. It's his will to deliver us. It's his will to heal us. It's his will to fill us with the Holy Spirit, which many people have not been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. It's his will for us to move in the gifts of the Spirit. It's his will that we lay hands on the sick. It's his will that we cast out devils. It's his will. It's his will. But people are not cutting away doubt and unbelief. So they stay in the arena of bondage as a believer. Never able to lead, but continue to be to follow. God wants to raise leaders. Is everybody with me? Leaders. In this arena, listen, God wants to be God in you and through you. But you must cut away that doubt and unbelief. Tune in, people. The Bible says, and those who are filled with the Spirit of God will be endured, empowered from up on high. They will be empowered for what? To dance? No. To be wealthy? No. To be extension of the kingdom of God on earth. That's what it's about. So that he would receive all glory, honor, and praise. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Go to verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Well, praise God. That's called intercession. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Well, that really touched the Lord. He said, you know, I don't have to go there. I just speak it. You believe that if I just speak it, he'll be healed? He said, yeah. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, and go, and he goes, and another one, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he was marveled and said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have what? Believe, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Oh, hallelujah. Then Jesus had, in verse 14, then Jesus had come into Peter's house. And he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her head, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a what? A word. And healed all who were sick, that they might be fulfilled with the word spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Oh, hallelujah. Deliverance and healing through his word. Turn to Hebrews 10. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 10. In verse 32. Would you read it with me? But what? Recall the former days in which, after you were what? Illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Now listen, illuminated. We've been illuminated not only by the Holy Spirit, but by the Word of God. In other words, he says, remember when you first began. Remember that. When you were illuminated, when you were on fire for God, when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, remember that. Don't just throw it aside. Remember that. Why? Because when you begin to remember it, you begin to cut away doubt and unbelief. David said that all the time. He says, man, I remember when the Lord did wonderful things. Though I'm in the pit right now, I remember how he got me out of this. Remember, what are you doing? You're cutting away doubt and unbelief. Too many people get caught up in their circumstances instead of caught up in God. Let me share something with you, very important. What you are in right now, is an opportunity to grow. Your trial and tribulation and everything that you're going through right now is an opportunity to grow. It's also an opportunity to earn the trust of God. Your decision will earn the trust of God, or else he'll have to bring you through another circumstance to earn your trust in this area, earn his trust. So what you're in right now is an opportunity to reflect back and know what he's done for you already. Remember, why are you doing this? Because you're cutting away doubt and unbelief. He is a God that does not change. He's a God who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Turn to the book of Romans. Chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 11. Paul writes to the church. He says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that you may be what? Established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what? By faith. Something very powerful here, he says. He says, listen, I want to be encouraged together with you. One of the things that not only we must do is seek, but we must be in fellowship. Fellowship is very important for helping cutting away doubt and unbelief. Because another brother or sister can encourage you. Amen? That helps cutting away doubt and unbelief. Everybody with me? Fellowship. Why? There's an impartation in fellowship also. You don't even realize it sometimes, but even today as we're fellowshipping, there's an impartation being done. We're getting revelation, something that maybe we haven't thought about before. Maybe God is bringing something up. Maybe you're going through something right now. Of course you are. Everyone is. I don't know anybody in the body of Christ who isn't. If they're not, they're already in trouble. God wants to teach us the importance of cutting away doubt and unbelief. We have a wonderful teaching saying, don't go there. Don't go there. Cut it away. Oh, hallelujah. Would you turn to... Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 14. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 10. Did I say 14? Oh, hallelujah. Okay, well, we read this one already. Let's go a little further. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. That's further. First Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9. Oh, okay. And verse 24. Would you read it with me? Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the what? Prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for a imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus not with uncertainty. Thus I what? I fight. Not as one who beats the air. But I what? Discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So we must be disciplined. Amen? Discipline. If we're not disciplined, we become disqualified. Because the enemy is going to always try to get you disqualified. And one of the things he does is try to get you positioned so that you're out of time. And I shared this already. To disqualify you. In James chapter 4. Is everybody there? James 4. Studying at verse 1. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Cut away that doubt and unbelief. James 4, starting at verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that are in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. That means out of your own desires you're asking. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, he will lift you up. So there's an area where we must be submissive to God to resist the devil. Amen. We must be submissive to God and able to resist the devil. To be submissive to God, you must continue to cut away doubt and unbelief. Amen. Matthew 14. A couple more scriptures. So these are areas where you and I must continue to cut away doubt and unbelief by, number one, to understand that there is a fight. Number two, to seek. Number three, to be illuminated by the Word. Number four, to have fellowship. Number five, to have discipline, obedience. Everybody with me? I'll repeat them in a minute. Matthew 14. Verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now you got to understand something. Jesus made them get in the boat. He said, get in the boat. Well, I'll meet you on the other side. I don't even think he said, I'll meet you on the other side. He said, go to the other side. I was like, why, Lord? Get in a boat. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. So Jesus went by himself to go pray. His disciples were still rowing across, or the wind catching the sail going across the sea. The boat was now in the middle of the sea. I love this. Now the boat's in the middle of the sea. Jesus is still up there hanging out with Dad. Disciples have forgotten that Jesus told them to get in a boat and sent them out. Oh, hallelujah. Now, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea and tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Because there was a myth that saying, if you saw a ghost walking on the sea while you were in the boat, many of the merchants and so forth that were in the ships, they said if they saw a ghost walking on the sea, everybody would drown and die. So these guys were freaking. Oh, God. They got to remember, they lost sight that Jesus told them to get in the boat. Like Jesus was going to send them into the boat, send them in a storm and kill them. They lost total sight, didn't they? They forgot Jesus told them to get in the boat. So they were in the middle of the sea. Here comes Jesus walking on water. Whoa! We're all going to die. Oh, hallelujah. Sounds like some of our circumstances. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I, do not what? Be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water. And Jesus said, come. When Peter had come down out of the water, out of the boat, he walked in the water to Jesus. Because see, he knew he couldn't do it in his own self. He said, man, if you're doing that, command me to do it. This is great. Get me out of this boat. Now you got to understand, the storm hadn't settled yet. It's still going. These guys are still getting seasick. You know, still cruising up and down on these waves. Here comes Jesus. Be of good cheer. Yeah, right. Be of good cheer. Thomas is hanging over the side. Everybody's looking for Dramamine or whatever that is. Dramamine. Jesus said, be of good cheer, it's me. Don't be afraid. Fear will always promote doubt and unbelief. That's why Peter finally set up. Peter was the only one that cut off doubt and unbelief out of all of them that were in the boat. He cut off doubt and unbelief. He looked at the Lord and said, man, command me. I want to get out of this. He was the only one willing to come out of that storm. Everybody else was still holding on for their life. They were relying on their flesh. They had confidence in their flesh. You know what their flesh was? Hold on to something so we don't drown. Peter chose to hold on to the Lord. So he looked at Jesus and said, command me to do this with you. Come on. Jesus said, come. Peter walks out. All right. Starts walking on the water. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was what? Afraid. All doubt and unbelief just got manifested. Fear promotes doubt and unbelief. And beginning to sink, cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you little faith, why do you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat, they came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. They were like saying, thank you for rescuing me. But they worshipped him. It wasn't until Jesus got in the boat with them that everything ceased. See, if Jesus is with you, then everything should cease. No matter what storm you're going through. No matter what's happening in your life. No matter whether sickness, disease, infirmity, weaknesses, fears, whatever it is. You must cut off doubt and unbelief. You have to cut it off. Go to Romans 12. You know how many times you come to a worship service and you just don't feel like worshiping? You got to cut off doubt and unbelief. See, you've got to hold on to God is trying to get you something, not take it. The only thing he wants to take is the garbage. He wants to take your dirty laundry. And he cleans it up and puts it back on you. Verse 1, Romans chapter 12. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility, to present yourselves daily to the Lord to empty yourself. Amen? Empty yourself so that you can cut off doubt and unbelief. If you don't empty yourself, your confidence is still in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 10. And we'll close here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, cutting away doubt and unbelief. Is everybody there? Verse 4 or verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, which are memory lies. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge or the truth of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Cutting out all doubt and unbelief. Again, we must get the understanding that there is a fight. We must seek. We must allow the Word to be illuminated in us. We must have fellowship. There must be obedience and discipline. One thing we can't do is fear. And we must empty ourselves and take our authority. Cutting out, cutting away doubt and unbelief is our responsibility, not God's. Is everybody with me? Let's start doing it. Amen? Get angry. Don't take no garbage when that thought comes, when that fear comes. Don't just sit there and pet it. Cut it off. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, we are honored and we are blessed. And Lord, prepare us even right now in the mighty name of Jesus for communion. We take this opportunity and we repent for touching and agreeing with doubt and unbelief. And letting it have reign in our life in every area. We cut and sever ourselves from all doubt and unbelief right now and anything associated with it. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would increase our faith, encourage us, and grant us revelation of who you are as we partake in communion with you today. Let healing come to your people. Let the filling of the Holy Spirit be manifested. And let the anointing break every yoke of bondage. Communion song in Jesus' name.